Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
This podcast is brought to you by Green and Blacks, a rich, smooth, and truly delicious chocolate experience.
You're listening to the Irish Times Women's Podcast. I'm Roisin Ingle. Today on the podcast, we're going to be hearing from great Irish women comedians, both based in London, Alison Spittle and Joanne McNally. But first of all, I want to say thanks to those listeners who've been joining us so far for the women's podcast Big Night In. We've had them every second Saturday with Marion Keyes so far and with Deirdre O'Kane. They take place on Zoom with loads of you. There was 250 of you there for Deirdre O'Kane's one. Now, our next one is going to be a celebration of our 400th episode, which is coming up next Thursday. And we can tell you that our special guest joining us on Saturday night for that 400th episode is going to be, drum roll, I'm not doing a very good drum roll on my laptop here in my bedroom, but it's going to be, drum roll, Amy Huberman. Yes, the comedian, actor, writer, and Instagram queen, the person who makes us laugh wherever she goes, is going to be joining us, and we're delighted. It's 400 episodes. Can you believe it? Our hair is a lot grayer, thank you, global pandemic, and we've a few more wrinkles, but we're still here, and we think 400 episodes is really worth celebrating. And we're delighted that Amy Huberman is going to be celebrating with us on Saturday night and with you. And speaking of you, we've got 10 tickets to our very special Zoom event up for grabs, and all you have to do is send us a voice memo. Yes, we're preparing one of our themed episodes, and we want you to take part. Now, if you don't know how to do a voice memo, just ask a kind younger friend to help. It's really simple. And in the voice memo, we want you to tell us briefly what you do or what you used to do and what you're up to at the moment, and then tell us what you are most looking forward to doing when lockdown is lifted. So it could go something like this. My name is Roisin Ingle. I am the presenter of the Irish Times Women's Podcast, and I live in Dublin with my partner and my two 11-year-old girls. What I'm most looking forward to when lockdown is lifted is going into a pub and having a great big well-poured pint of Guinness. The voice memos have been flying in, so do send us yours to thewomenspodcast@irishtimes.com or send us a voice memo by DM on Twitter at IT Women's Podcast. And you could be joining us on Saturday night celebrating our 400th episode with the brilliant Amy Huberman. Now to today's episode. We're going to have a laugh. Alison Spittle is an Irish comedian, comedy writer, radio producer and actor. And Joanne McNally is another very funny Irish woman who has made documentaries and done stand-up comedy all over Ireland and the UK. Both women are based in London, where, like the rest of us, they've been in lockdown. So I got them on Zoom for a very funny conversation, which goes in several unexpected directions. I think you're really going to enjoy it. Alison and Joanne, thank you for joining me on Zoom.
Thanks for having us.
Alison, first of all, you are very busy in lockdown because I'm watching your hashtag co-video party, which has just been going from strength to strength, over 50 films now, and a little partnership with the BBC, no less.
Yeah, I'm delighted about that. It's strange because, you know, new stuff is still coming out and the ways that they used to promote it are no longer there. So everyone's trying something new. So it was really good to kind of host a normal people call video party. And we did it on Sunday for people that could watch it on BBC Three. And then, you know, because most of the call video party people are Irish, we had to do it on Tuesday then when it came out in RT as well. So it was good to tweet along with some lovely Irish riding. Like, it was very nice.
Alison, for people who don't know, just a quick little summary of what the call video party is.
Yes, yeah, so the call video party is a hashtag I started just when lockdown was happening because I couldn't go to the cinema anymore. And I said, if anyone wants to watch a film at the same time on Netflix, and then we'll tweet along with it. And we've been doing it every day at 9 o'clock since then, apart from half nine one day when Varadkar was making a speech. We had to let the government talk then, but otherwise it's been constantly going. So it's been great crack.
And you've been trending all over the place, like several nights a week, COVID your party, I see up there.
Ah, yeah, sure. People have got F all else to do, you know. It's great. It's like I treat it like the Late Late Toy Show every night, except you got Pierce Brosnan instead of an 8-year-old from Roscommon. So it's been good to kind of like tweet along with it, and it's fun.
Fantastic. Joanne, you're also working in this lockdown, but you're using working in an inverted commas.
Yeah, like I am and I am. And like, I'm not one of these people, like I don't thrive in this situation. Like I'm not going to become some sort of savant in the global pandemic. Like, I need to leave the house to like think of things. And so every day I sit at my desk and I'm like, I was actually talking to a friend of mine this morning. I was like, I'm actually not going to put pressure on myself anymore. I don't need to write a novel. I don't need to write a film. Like, I am filming stuff in my room at the moment. I have three little mini episodes commissioned by Comedy Central just for their online channels or whatever. So I've been filming them, which is hell because I have to direct myself, film myself. I'm not editing it myself, but like I have to watch videos back of myself, which is like torture. I hate it. I've been throwing tantrums all day, fired myself a couple of times. Awful. Just hate it. That's what I've been doing. And then I had a publisher on about writing a book. So I'm chatting to them about that. I don't know. I'm just like, there was someone saying that the Chinese word for crisis also has opportunity in it. And I'm like, yeah. And I'm writing mantras on my mirror. And then I'm just mostly sitting around drinking, to be honest. Like, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not. Like, I'm not the person who's going to turn my kitchen into a gym. I'm not the person who's going to do the 5K. Like, I've been nominated for it about 9 times. I'm like, you're wasting your time. I'm just taking it. I'm just doing it. I'm relaxing into it now.
Alison, would you agree with that kind of philosophy that Joanne is adopting?
Yeah, yeah. It's very hard to do that. And it's very hard to have any joy in life when there's a massive pandemic going along. So all I can do is like watch films. It's strange. I keep telling myself that I'm going to write this script or I'm going to finish this thing off. And I can't even, like, I did try to do the Deepak Chopra 21 days of meditation thing and I got to day 4. And I've just been kind of, it's done worse for my psyche taking on those 21 days of meditating. So I've just been meditating that I'm shite at meditating now for the past 20 days, I'd say. So yeah.
I can't meditate either. I can't I've never been able to do it. But like the other day, it's because, do you know when your choice is taken away from you? So the other day it was like 4:30 in the afternoon, I was in a bathrobe on my bed drinking a glass of red wine, and I was like, oh my god, I'm in a psychological prison. And I was like, I'm actually in a spa resort. If you actually, like, I would pay hundreds and hundreds to do this in Monarch, hundreds. And I'm now getting to do it every day. And because it's not my choice, I'm having a tantrum about it. So I was like, Joanne, grow up. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's grand. Just relax. I would love to be in Ireland, actually, to be honest. I would love to be at home.
Definitely. Especially with the way that, like, I feel like I'm living in a mix between Love Actually and The Day After Tomorrow. Like, all they're doing is going, look at this lovely child with hair. And there's thousands of people dying. And they're like, look at this love child. And it just drives me insane. I would rather have the robotic Varadkar like just reading out a sheet to me than having that feckin' Egypt that I don't know how he managed to impregnate that many women. And I'm talking about Boris Johnson, not Varadkar. But like, I just kind of hate being here. I'm just not up for this crack at all.
This I love it usually.
What I signed up for. Yeah, I know, me too.
I love it usually. It's just, I've hit a wall now where I'm like, I want to be in Dublin. I'm craving it. I'm physically craving it. I'm also having a physical craving for like West Cork. Like I want the city.
The murder podcast or the location?
The location. I want the familiarity of it. Like I want to be at home. Like, and yeah. I don't know. I can actually, I'm physically craving like West Cork, Kinsale. I just want to be in Kinsale.
I get that. I have that for the west of Ireland. Like we often go to Lahinch and we're supposed to be going in July and I don't think we're going to get there. And I just, the sea, the Atlantic Ocean, I know exactly what you mean. Just that feeling of space and being out somewhere expansive, you know?
Yeah, that's what it is. Space. I just want like a load of books in the middle. But again, if that's basically what lockdown is. So for some people, And I'm like, oh my God, you're living the dream. And I'm basically just doing that in London. I'm kind of over it now, you know, I'm just over it.
Yeah. Well, listen, we wanted to talk about housemates because we've talked about different living scenarios, like people on their own, older people, you know, there's all these different ways people are living. How is it for you, Joanne, with your housemates? Because you came on and told us before about you've got three women, I think, in their 30s, and one of them's a sex psychologist.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's five of us usually, but Joy, she legged it back to Wales the second this kicked off. So now her room has been raided and her food cupboards have been raided. She has nothing left. So we've taken her lamps, her bookshelves. We're using her room as a dry cleaners. I hope she doesn't listen to this. So there's four of us left. One of them actually started going out with a guy just before this kicked off. So she's kind of Skype calling him a good bit. And then me and the two other girls are single and we're fine. Like we're kind of rubbing along. Like, I mean, no one ever planned to spend this much time together. Like that's the truth of it. But we're actually fine. There's been no major dramas. There's been some passive aggressive moments, but we get on. We like having a glass of wine in the evening. We're doing barbecues. We're kind of respecting each other's space. One of the girls had corona. We're pretty sure a couple of them have had it actually. I reckon I definitely had, but like, I think everyone's saying that. They're like, I sneezed 2 years ago. I think I had the coronavirus. Like everyone's saying the same thing. So I don't know. Who knows? I think I did though.
Now, listen, tell me about dating, because we spoke to you before about the old Tinder and all the different apps. So is that still like, tell me, is that still going on in some form?
Apparently it is. Like, so my housemate was saying that cases of STIs, I don't know which they are, STDs, STIs, are up in the UK at the moment because people are meeting up on Tinder dates in cars and they're like having sex in cars. She said syphilis is on the rise. Like, I want the information, but I don't want the information. Do you know that way?
Yeah.
But she says everyone's at it. And like, but there's also on the apps now, there's an option to Zoom call someone. And some lad was asking me to Zoom call him the other day. And I was like, absolutely not. Like, come on. What's the point? I have no interest in it at the moment. I'll reignite all that when this is over and you can actually meet someone face to face. I don't want to Zoom call someone. What's he going to do? Pat my hair through the letterbox? I'm not into it.
Just on the STIs, apparently condom sales are down. So that might have something to do with it. But because people are having less sex, but maybe they're having more unprotected sex. Maybe. I don't know.
London is rampant. They're all at it. Like,
Alison, have you anything to report? You're all loved up there in your lockdown land.
Yeah, so my boyfriend has got COVID now for the past few weeks and he's in self-isolation, so I feel like I'm practically single, to be honest with you. I don't know, I haven't heard of any kind of STDs or anyone riding in cars, to be honest with you. I'm kind of curious about that. Like, are they catching the syphilis from the car itself? Or, like, is this the difference now? It's like, you know.
Apparently it's on the rise. Apparently syphilis is bigger now than that. Now, don't quote me. Like, I listen on a surface level. I don't ingest facts or proper information. But I'm just throwing it out there. Syphilis.
No, I'm like that too. Like, literally any bit of, like, information I get off someone in a pub, I treat as gospel. I don't know. Like, I think this whole pandemic thing where we get loads of misinformation. But I can inform you, like, it's been kind of tough. It's been tough because I live in a flat and I can kind of see people. And I feel like such a granny because I definitely look at people and I'm like, you're not socially distancing. Like, I was in a corner shop and there was this couple and I could tell they were in their first few months of a relationship because it seemed like they still liked each other. And they were just like walking around, like touching apples, going, what's this apple? I felt like I was in like four weddings and a funeral. And I was just being a grumpy bitch, like absolutely giving them daggers behind my face mask. Like, if you ever had to try and signify that you hate someone using only your eyes, it is so hard. It takes a lot of energy. But I hate couples in shops. That needs to end. Because it's like, number one, dangerous. And also, like, I don't want to be seeing that. Like, touching apples and cheese, you know, like, your one, she was like, you'd swear she was in Amelie and she'd never seen an apple before. Do you know? Oh, John, look at this apple. Yeah. I'm sorry, I was going to swear, and then I stopped myself, and then I was like, I'm on a podcast. Will you fuck off? Like, you know.
That's love. I miss it. It's great. Everything is like, you just see rainbows. It's wonderful. I was actually saying to a friend of mine, now is the time. Like, sometimes I really enjoy my own time and being single and all that jazz, but now is the time you're like, oh, I wish I'd put the work in and I'd someone to kind of isolate with. And then I was saying it to my friend who's married, and I was like, she's like, why? And I was like, I just... you know, you'd be spooning in the evenings. She was like, if my husband tried to spoon me, I'd start on him, Joanne. She goes, no one's spooning. No one's spooning. And I was like, yeah, I've just got this idealized idea of what it would be, that we'd just be like a Richard Curtis movie. We'd be so in love, and probably we'd probably be killing each other at this stage.
But there's so many people that have to make the decision. And like, it's been happening for the past few months of will I get a mediocre ride and Corona, or will I stay in and be safe? Because no one is worth, no dick is worth catching Corona for. I'm sorry. Like, no, you know what I mean?
Idris Elba, I'd catch Corona for him.
Would you?
Yeah. You know, the man from Luther, he has it, and I'd catch it off him. I'd take the hit. I was like, oh, is it a vaccine? What is that?
Is there anyone else who has it that you wouldn't mind catching it off? Or is he the only one?
Oh, God, there's loads of them. I need to get out. I need to get into, like, I need to start moving in showbiz circles if I can. I want a famous boyfriend. That's what I want, to crack the UK. That's what I'll do. Ride someone else's coattails. Idris, he's got a girlfriend, though, I think. Very few single men. But I'll tell you this much, Roisin. I'll tell you this much. I was thinking in my head, I was like, so most men my age now are married or whatever. But I was like, this is going to, me and my single friends are waiting for like that second wind of like when men our age start getting divorced. And I'm pretty sure this is it. I'm pretty sure once all this is over.
Oh, yes. Every Corona cloud.
Yeah. There'll be a lot more fish back to the sea. A lot more fish.
Nice.
Yeah.
There'll be like fairground fish that have been in a small space for like too much time and now have been irreparably damaged.
But like, I'm emotionally damaged. That's fine. I'll take a fairground fish with baggage. They'll be fish with little suitcases. They'll have so much baggage, but I don't care.
Yeah, they'll have their own baggage. Don't they come in a little plastic bag? Yeah, you'd be crap.
Yeah.
Fish with their little suitcases in the sea. Oh, I'm loving it.
Green and Black's organic chocolate, a selection of ethically sourced flavors combined with a rich cocoa intensity.
Alison, having to be separated within the same space as your boyfriend because he's sick. And by the way, how is he now? Is he nearly better, or what way?
No, this thing, it's like he's just been constantly the same for weeks. So his temperature hasn't gone down, but he hasn't got worse. Do you know what I mean? So it's kind of, it's annoying. It's more so, I'm not afraid. I'm just fierce annoyed. And because he spent so long not giving it to me, then it's like, and I'm like, sure, look, would you be arse now? We might as well just like, you know, be in the same room and hug. And he's like, no, if I've gone this far now, so it's annoying. But I feel like he's my prisoner. I feel like I'm in the film Misery and I'm just giving him soup. Because I just knock on his door and I'm like, here, do you want some, you know, and I give him dinner and I, you know, it's just, yes. So I feel like I'm a prisoner rather than a boyfriend. And
Are you sure you haven't had it though? Like, are you sure you're just not like asymptomatic, as they say?
You see, that's it. I'm like, it's so hard for both people. Like, and this goes for us, right? When we're chatting, it's so hard because, like, in my heart, I'm like, sure, look, I think I'm grand, do you know? But I can't guarantee I'm grand. And I think he's got this weird kind of like, almost like, you know, fatalistic approach of like, I don't know. So it's kind of like, I definitely probably haven't had it. But, do you know?
We're all the same.
Yeah, it's hard to convince someone. It's hard to kind of like, it's hard to prove something when you're not a doctor.
Yeah, you know? You're like, but I feel grand. I'm sure it's fine. Yeah,
exactly. This it's very like, I wonder, everything I get now, I'm like, oh, I hope, not that I hope it's Corona, but, geez, that's a bit, but I mean, everything I get now, I'm like, oh, that might be a touch of it there, you know?
Yeah.
And we both keep texting each other like whatever ailments we have, like tiny or otherwise. So it's it's been a bad.
So you don't know when you'll be able to sort of coexist again, no?
I suppose like when his temperature goes down to whatever the healthy temperature is for like 3 days, I think that's when he's gonna come out.
God love him. 2 weeks is a long time to be on your own in a room. Like that is
Yeah. Tough. Yeah, it's mad, especially because I'm such great crack as well. So like, he's missing out.
Is he doing the co-video party in there?
He is. So that's how we kind of keep in touch. And so, I mean, all that, we like message each other as well. But he's been very good. He watches the the co-video parties. So it's been fun. So the co-video parties for me has been, I have like two other flatmates, and one of them I get on with, and she's Irish and she's lovely. And so I have chats with her, and it's grand. We wanted to go mini golfing because there's a mini golf place in our estate, and I got some two golf clubs off the internet, but it's been closed off due to the pandemic.
Oh, so, of course.
I know. You'd think not the mini golf. Like, no, that would be the first to go.
Be the last thing to go. First to reopen, in fact.
Well, people that play mini golf obviously can't have manners with social distancing. They're all just touching each other.
But this not getting on with a housemate, that must be tricky at this time.
Yeah, it is. Like, I don't get on with one of them. And that came up because of the pandemic and their attitude towards it. So it's been annoying in that way, because I got on well with the person before. So now, but it's great because they're English, so they've kind of like been very passive aggressive. So it's not really affected my life so much. We just avoid each other, which is so easy to do. I didn't think it was, but in such a small space, we're like two minus magnets that just keep away from each other. I think I've seen them once in about a month. And
What about sharing a bathroom? Do you share a bathroom now?
Yeah, we do, but we don't look at each other while we're in the bathroom. You know, we go in at separate times, so it's been handy.
It's not nice having bad energy in a house. Like, I've been in situations like that before, and you're like, ugh, it's a pain in the ass. Like, we're old enough now. Like, it's like in this house, if there's an issue in the house and there's a bit of passive aggressiveness going on, I'm old enough now that I'm like, I'm not going to engage. I'm not going to indulge it. And like, I do it as well, and I'm like, just park it. It'll sort itself out. It's fine. We don't all have to be best friends all the time. Whereas when you're younger, it affects you in a different way because you're more dramatic, or like people not liking you affects you more and all that stuff. But still, even at this stage, it's not nice to have bad energy in a house. It's just...
Yeah. Look, we got bad energy and we got COVID. We're fighting with two things, you know?
And you're still laughing, Alison.
You'll make peace. I bet you'll make peace once this is over. Once this is over, everything just feels so big at the moment. Like...
Yeah. Hopefully, like, I don't know, like, it would definitely make peace. I mean, I'm not mad. Like, it's mad. Like, maybe about like 2 or 3 weeks ago, it was just all encompassing my anger and stuff. And it also, it's very good to focus on something that you can't control. Like, because with this pandemic, you've no control over anything, and you can just focus on being mad at your housemate instead of like everybody dying. You know, it's easier.
It's really true.
Anything to take you away from the death toll has been like,
and it must, like, going back to you looking over Ireland and wishing you were here. I mean, the death toll over there being so bad, and them having handled it in such a weird way at the beginning, that must be awful to be part of.
But I feel slightly removed from it. I'm Irish, so I'm like,
yeah,
it sounds awful, but I'm more concerned about what's going on in Ireland, because my family's in Ireland, my mother's in Ireland, you know, all that. So over here, you're just kind of watching it like, almost like you're inside, but you're an outsider watching from the inside. Plus, the way they're reporting on it, it doesn't feel, there's no hysteria. It's not like, do you remember all the stuff coming out of Italy? And it was terrifying. It felt apocalyptic.
Mm.
It doesn't feel like that here. Sure, it doesn't, Alison. Like, I only know that they're doing such a terrible job because friends and family, everyone in Ireland loves sending me information about what a cock up the UK have made.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? They're like, they love it. They're like, Jesus, they've really, oh God, they've absolutely effed up. And I'm like, yeah, I know, whatever. Like, I know, I get it.
Like, Julie J, a comedian, has made like the best joke about it on Twitter. She said like that the COVID crisis is a lot like Eurovision. As long as Ireland is doing better than England, you don't care.
Yeah, and exactly.
That's what it was reminding me of when you were talking, like some kind of football match or something, you know?
Yeah. When I moved from Ireland, it's not like I stopped following people on Twitter and I stopped taking my media intake from Ireland. I do feel like all the news I get is Irish, and Joanne's right. It is, everyone I care about is in Ireland. And the people that live in Britain here, I've been chatting to, are cocooning. So there's nothing more. I don't need to kind of know how bad a job they're doing. I get it off my Irish family. They'll tell me. So yeah, like, Joanna's totally right.
Oh, they'll tell you. they'll tell you.
Yeah, oh, they will. And they're like, how are you getting on over there? Are you happy now? Everyone's dying over there and you thought you could get on TV, huh? We've TV over here. I'm so happy, but lots of people dying. Bet you're sorry now. Will RTE take you back now, huh? That's a big thing.
Brilliant. So listen, I'm looking at your lovely plants there, Alison, on Zoom, and I heard a rumour, Joanne, that you tried your hand at a bit of gardening. Is that true?
I went out. So in the house, the girls are way, like, I'm like a wild boar. Like I was never house trained. So they're all so domesticated. So like one of them was like, look, I'll cook the dinners. Now all these plants have completely gone out the window. Now everyone, it's back to every woman for themselves. When it all started and everyone was like, you know, kind of leaning into each other in a fuzzy way of like, what can we do for the community? And one of them was like, I can cook, you know, she's an amazing chef. The other one was like, I can bake desserts, you know, she's really good at that. The other one was like, I make amazing cocktails. And everyone was kind of looking at me and I was like, what'll I do? And they're like, you can do the garden, as in basically going, don't touch anything in the house, go out and fanny around in the garden there. I said, you know what? I did. I took them up on it. Got one of these massive clippers. A woman dropped in a letter. It's actually here, which is the most middle-class English letter I've ever received. The synopsis is that she basically told us the education level of all her children, and her children are called Atticus, Ezra.
No, hang on a second. Say them again. Atticus?
Atticus, Ezra, Benjamin, Ophelia, Raphael.
This is a joke letter.
Electra. Did I say Electra?
How many kids does she have?
Atticus. Benedict is the father. Ophelia, Ezra, Atticus, Electra, and her oldest boy, Raphael, has moved to the US to study law. Now, why she needs to tell me that on a letter going, if you're an elderly person, I'll do your shopping, I've no idea. Anyway, we hit her up and got a load of gardening equipment off her, and I went out and butchered the garden. Full of bamboo, there's nothing there now. So I lied with myself. Only problem is the bin men don't take leaves. So now I've just destroyed the back garden because there's like 28 bags of black bamboo.
Tell me you didn't get rid of all the bamboo, John.
I did, yeah. It was like the cement.
Bamboo in a garden.
No, it was blocking the sun. I didn't even know we had a garden. I just wandered out, got the gardening shears and went at it. Very therapeutic. Very perfect.
Joanne, I'm afraid I'm going to have to return to this letter because this is amazing. So it's essentially a volunteering letter trying to be good. But within the letter, this person has basically boasted about themselves at length.
I mean, yes, it's very odd. It's not something, I just don't think you'd get it at home. They've given the schools that their children go to. I think what they're trying to do is go, look, you can trust us. It's very middle class. They're going, you can trust us. We've got an education. Like, we're not going to ransack your gaff. But it was the names more than anything. I was like, oh my God. I know. And then when they
are they very boho? Have you seen them around?
Well, I didn't meet them, but when I gave the gardening equipment, they all turned up to the door, except Raphael, obviously, because he's in the US.
They all turned up?
Yeah. I never trust families like that. Yeah, they turned up. Well, they left the equipment at the door, rang the bell, and then stood at the end of the driveway and we took it in.
That reminds me of the time when Mormons called to my house. This is when I was a teenager. They're very good looking. Do you remember the American Mormons used to come over and they'd call to the door and they'd say, can we do anything for you, ma'am? And I had a piano that needed moving all the way down Strand Road. So I made them move a piano. It was amazing. Like, they didn't know what hit them, but they couldn't say no because they were like, we'll do anything. And they moved a piano for me.
We live near a prison. And one of the girls was saying, now, it hasn't happened yet, but when they let them out of prison, they go up and down the road knocking, asking for money. Not offering to do anything, just going, look, I've just been let out of prison. Like, will you give us a couple of bob or whatever? And she said she opened the door once and there were six of them just out, standing on the door with their hands out going, can we have some money? And I was like, that did not happen. She's like, it did. Wait. And she said, it'll happen now after the pandemic. She's like, it happens all the time.
Wow.
They're not even offering to do work.
That went off an amazing little segues there. I love it. Alison, back to your plants because they're looking very nice. You're obviously sort of tending some things that are growing there.
Yeah, I my boyfriend normally looks after the plants, so I've had to like really make sure that they don't die. One of the plants has been dying and I used in a costume, so it's been grand. That one there.
What?
Yeah, I was dressed up as a fella from Jumanji, so I got a lot of these leaves, and I made a top out of them. I've been going mad, Joanne, and I have too much.
We have all been going mad, Alison.
I know. I bought wigs so I could like WhatsApp my family and tell them that I've dyed my hair. And I know. I'm a prankster, Joanne. And my sister spotted it straight away and she's like, nice wig. So I spent money on a prank that didn't work.
There's a lot of wig action going around. I saw Des Bishop was throwing on wigs as well.
No way!
Yeah,
is he?
Yeah. He's over in the Hamptons losing his mind on his own.
Oh my gosh.
You've so much time in your own head. That's actually what I think people are struggling with is all the thinking.
There's been too much wig buying. It's a pandemic of wig buying.
Yeah. But like you start to process all these things that like you probably weren't processing before, like just your own issues. Like, whereas before I just worked all the time. I'd be writing during the day. I'd be gigging at night. I'd be traveling. You didn't have to process anything. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. You don't have to listen to yourself.
Exactly. You don't have to deal with anything.
And we're looking at ourselves as well on all these bloody Zoom calls.
I know. Quizzes.
Quizzes. I haven't done a quiz yet. I'm a bit jealous. I seem to be left out of the quiz thing. What's the story with the quizzes?
They're a great idea until you've got 9 a week and then you're like, here, good luck. I've lost every single one, which is, I didn't realise I'm so stupid. Very upsetting. I've no general knowledge at all.
So we're getting a sort of gradual lifting of the lockdown here. Is that happening over there or what's the plan?
Yeah, I think people are like, no more than at home. I think people can only stay in crisis mode for so long. It's not a natural human state. So people will start bending, people are bending the rails already. But I think because Boris had it, he's more respectful of its powers. So I think if he hadn't had it, he probably would have lifted the lockdown before this. But I think he's actually quite nervous about it because he's seen how serious it is. But yeah, I mean, we're getting an exit plan as well. I know you guys already have one. We're getting one too. Soon. Next week, this week, something. Yeah.
And in the meantime, Alison, what co-videos have you got planned? And you ask people what videos they want to watch, isn't that right? You do a poll on Twitter.
Yes, I do a poll of four. Tonight we're watching The Social Network, I think, which
that's a good one.
Is disappointing because it was my least favourite of the four films that I put forward. Mm. So, but we got like a load of Back to the Futures, which I'm excited about, and we'll be watching at some time. And so it's been good fun. Like yesterday was Goodfellas, and I dressed up as Martin Scorsese's mom. So
it's very good.
Yeah, it's been good fun. And I do fake mass every Sunday.
Tell us about the fake mass, because that's really popular, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just every Sunday at 11 a.m. I get people to do their versions of hymns. So we've had like heavy metal versions of Here I Am, Lord. And we have a Teo communion that we give out. So it's been good. Like, I mean, I just put the crisp up to the camera and tell people to open up their mouth or put their hand out. So it's been a really kind of a hygienic way of getting your Eucharist.
And it's great if you're gluten intolerant, you can still get it. Like, that's really good.
Absolutely. I got palm bears. They're the amazing Swiss Army knife of snacks. They are gluten-free. Vegetarian friendly, everything. Palm bears are amazing. Not much Christ in them though, so it's kind of hard, you know.
I've been eating a lot of Peppa Pigs because they're on a special offer in Marks and Spencer's. All the Easter ones, they're getting rid of them like for a third of the price. It's very hard not to buy a few bags.
They're addictive, those yolks. Do you know that she's like a multi-millionaire? You're one of those
Peppa Pig.
Yeah.
What? There's a voiceover.
Yeah.
Oh, brilliant.
But like, I've been in friends' houses and like they turn it on and children are literally hypnotized. Hypnotized. Yeah, she's a multimillionaire. That's like, what we need. That's what we need, Alison. VO work.
I know. It's like Love Island for children, isn't it? Yeah. It's just something they're addicted to. We do. What VO work would you do? You can come up with a character now, like a kid's character.
I'd be the voice of the Dart, I'd say, if the Dart had a voice.
Do you know what? Yes.
I think you should do sort of an animation series called Damaged Fish, and you could be the voice of the damaged fish. That would be great.
That's so grim. Just like drowning in man. I have to think of something. I'm actually lucky. I have VO equipment in the house because the chances are we might be back on stage for like, who knows when we'll be back on stage. I have no idea. My tour is going to be scheduled to September, but I don't know if that's really going to happen, to be honest. So I'm going to have to think of something.
Yeah, it's hard to promote something when you kind of are not sure whether it's going to happen or not. And even when you're legally allowed to do it, I mean, do you want to tell someone, come out, you might be grand, you know, that kind of thing. It's,
I'd do that, yeah.
Would you?
I'd be like, I'll be on stage. You can take your chances in the crowds. I'll be grand in my latex gloves and my mask. I'd be like, fine. No, really? If I can work, I'll work. Yeah, 100%.
Okay, so basically, Alison and Joanne available for work. If anyone's listening and they've got some VO work and all that kind of thing,
everything, we're available for everything, aren't we, Alison?
Absolutely.
Be on the game soon in Camden. Anything?
Yeah, like what? Socially distancing game? Like,
yeah.
What, are we just gonna tell people to jerk themselves off?
Yeah, while we watch.
Through a letterbox.
This is just a whole new avenue. I'm so glad we went down here.
highbrow stuff.
Yeah, I think it's the fact that we're all going a bit mad. I think it's very clear, and we're not alone. I think everyone listening is going a bit mad as well. So we're all in this together, as they keep saying. It's been lovely to talk to you, Alison and Joanne, and maybe we'll come back to you towards the end of it. And stay safe, mind yourselves, mind your housemates, even the ones you don't like.
I know.
Keep doing your gardening.
Thanks for having us.
And that's it for today. Thanks to my guests, Alison Spittle and Joanne McNally. Do send us in your voice memos. We want you to be with us on Saturday night as we celebrate 400 with Amy Huberman. Remember, you can subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. We're on Spotify, Acast and all good podcast apps. And if you want to get in touch, we're on Twitter and Facebook at IT Women's Podcast, or email us on thewomenspodcast@irishtimes.com. The podcast is produced by me, Roisin Ingle, and by Suzanne Brennan, with JJ Vernon on sound. Until next time, thanks very much for listening.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.